Listen. Listen now for the Spirit speaking in this reading from the Gospel. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered Jesus, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Let's be in prayer. Holy One, we heard these words. Now may these words find a way to become lively in our lives. Amen. We are Plymouth, and as Bill said, today we begin our stewardship campaign, and I am very confident that most of you know exactly what that means. A few of us ask the rest of us to give the time and the resources it will take to run this place for the next year. Like most congregations, we set aside a time each year to talk about stewardship. It begins today. It goes on for the next few weeks. Each of your ministers and some of your lay leaders will be sharing their faith and their understanding of this important topic. Now, some folks think that means talking about money, and that makes many people uncomfortable. I know that. I understood that. It used to make me uncomfortable, or at least I said it did, even though Jesus talked about money in the same breath and with the same intensity that he talked about justice and love and right relationships and being reborn. In fact, unlike most of us who have this terrible human tendency to be a bit hypocritical and keep our lives in hermetically sealed compartments with money here and relationships over there in politics way out there someplace, hoping the neighbors won't discover our life inconsistencies, Jesus seems completely unable to do that. One of the reasons I actually believe that Jesus was a window into the presence of the divine was that Jesus was actually no hypocrite. And for me, because I try to love Jesus, being saved or finding salvation has a great deal to do with attempting to become less hypocritical in my own life. I talk a much better game than the one I am able to play most of the time. But then Jesus, along with my spouse, knows that. Jesus said it plain. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I remember an encounter many years ago with an individual who had absolutely nothing good to say about the church. Like a lot of the members of the clergy, we seem to become equipped with targets on our back to attract folks like this. This individual touched most of the standard complaints, including reminding me that all they do is talk about money. I listened and I kept on listening, remembering the wisdom of one of my mentors who tried to tell me that you rarely learn anything from the people who agree with you. And sadly, most of what this individual had to say was spot on, even though most of his negative attitudes came from experiences that I had never had. After a long time of listening to this individual's complaints, they ended their excuse-making with one final jab. They said to me, "I can't stand going to church because church is so full of hypocrites." At that point, I couldn't take it any longer. Well, I suppose I did. I began to laugh. I laughed and I laughed and I laughed, and that stopped him long enough to come up for breath. And I looked him in the eye and I said, "But isn't that the point? That's who we are. That's what church is. Church is people in recovery." And then I tried to explain that church is people seeking to catch a glimpse of what it means to love and to care and to be in mission. We are Plymouth, not perfect. It's about experience, forgiveness, and forgiving. We're not without flaws. We're not without even major inconsistencies, but people on a journey toward the love of Jesus in community with one another. We're Plymouth. Now, each year, as Art said, a few of us take on the job of asking, a job that most people want absolutely no part of, but a few of us know it has to be done. And so a few of us got together and chose a theme and wrote a few good letters, designed a brochure and a pledge card to invite the rest of us to do what most of us know needs to be done. We're Plymouth. That letter and that brochure and that pledge card will arrive at your house later this week. Next Sunday, we'll have some extras. If any of you want to look at that again, let me invite those of you who received that packet to take a good look and a long read. A few of us worked hard for the last month, and since we are Plymouth, I am confident that most of us will respond and most of us will understand what we need to do. Since we are Plymouth, we will help by making a gift that is meaningful to us, that includes our time and our resources, and reflects our commitment to show up and help out by including with our pledge positive energy and prayers. We are Plymouth. Because we're Plymouth, we remember that Jesus said once that the only thing we would ever have in this life was what we were willing to share. That he said what we have belongs to God. That he actually said that the hairs on our heads are numbered. Well, I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that for some of us, but that we are one mystically united group of people with a divine energy that is beyond all that we know or understand, but within the essence of all that is. And that essence is about living by giving. And that includes our time and our resources and our spiritual energy and those beautiful things that are at the very center of our essential selves. We are Plymouth. And we know the importance of nurturing a new generation, especially when we see these children up here and think about our youth program and the next generation of the friends we have not met yet and new members and leaders in mission and ministers and a community of faith that extends around the world that will help keep this place strong and vital for a new generation. Now, that is part of what I want to say this morning. And now I'm going to veer off with you in an entirely different direction, I think, and consider out loud in your presence what this motto or this slogan means to say we are Plymouth. Budgets and finances are a necessary part of the church's life. After all, we're an organization. But let me ask you and invite you to think with me, what makes a church a church? What makes a community of Christ? Let me suggest a couple of things, and you think of some more because you're better at this than I am. What is a church? Is it an hour a week when we think religious thoughts? Is it a chance to spend some quiet time or some social time? Is it the building where we meet? Is it an old program hardwired into our psyches like some sort of a habit, neither good nor bad, but routine like toothbrushing or flossing? I did it as a kid, so I better keep on doing it. Here's what I think. The essence of church is living out the call of Jesus. You get that right, and you're the church. We are people answering a call, sometimes soft, sometimes distant, sometimes mystical. Sometimes we can only see it in the life of another person. At those times of famine when we can't see it in our own spiritual lives. But it's real enough to make us want to get together and live together for the sake of others, and in the process, discover some deep and essential truth about our own lives. It's a quest. It's a quest for deeper meaning. It's a journey. It begins now and it continues our entire life. It's a truth that offers bread for this scary world. It's not about guilt, although it might start there. It's not about duty, because duty wears thin over time. It's not about what mom wanted me to do or what grandpa always did. Although there's nothing wrong with honoring the people who help make us who we are. In my mind, it comes down to a completely conscious decision about who I want to be and who I want to be known as being and how I intend to act. And dear ones, given all that is happening in this world and in this nation politically, and I'm going to share some thoughts on that in a couple of weeks, given all that, acting together in love and in service as the followers of Jesus Christ has never, ever, ever been more important than today. It's about standing up for transformational justice and reproductive freedom. It's about finding a way together to resist racism and homophobia and the sort of corrosive politics of hate that are these days threatening to destroy our nation. Many years ago, I heard somebody ask a question that has been at the center of my heart and my life ever since. She said, "If you were accused of being a follower of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" Saying that we are Plymouth and acting as if we believe that proves the point. Look at today. Dozens of us are doing a crop walk this afternoon so that thousands around the world will have food and a new opportunity for dignity that all of God's children need. We're part of a world family. We are Plymouth. Did you hear this morning on the news about the folks in Florida? We're being invited over the next month to do what we can to help with Florida relief. You can go on ucc.org and do it right now. You can write a check, throw in the offering plate. We'll make sure it gets there to the people in need. One of our congregations down there we've not heard much about, but I heard this morning on the news that Sanibel Island was uninhabitable. We have a beautiful congregation of about 600 members on Sanibel Island. Can you imagine what those sisters and brothers are facing? This morning we heard about the Family Housing Network and about Plymouth's participation. The homeless in this community are our sisters and our brothers. Today, traditionally on World Communion Sunday, we receive an offering called Neighbors in Need, an effort by our larger faith family to end injustice in our world, advocating for fair wages and decent working conditions, reaching out to some of our Native American siblings. We take an offering like that because we are Plymouth. Today, we're going to break the bread of communion and share the cup. This is not an isolated event. This is not a little snack of bread and grape juice that we do together because we think it's a good idea. This is part of a worldwide movement of sisters and brothers committed to the truth that Jesus Christ has something to say to this world, and that the love of Jesus has something to call and compel us to respond in love to the Jesus who called us to love one another and to love this good earth. I started a couple of minutes ago by reading scripture, which always is the first act of a sermon. I'm going to make it the last act of this sermon. There's one story that occurs in all four of the Gospels. In fact, it actually occurs six times. Think of the fact of those first writers and followers of Jesus. Why in heaven's name did they choose that one little story for it to appear six times? Guess what? That is the essence of the essence of the essence of the gospel. And what it is a miracle of multiplication. What the story says is that in a world that is not so friendly sometimes, wherever Jesus is, the miracle gets multiplied. The bread gets multiplied. The fish gets multiplied. The love gets multiplied. The hope gets multiplied. Where Jesus is, there's always enough. Where the Holy Spirit is active, ordinary things get multiplied. The hungry are fed, the lonely are welcomed, the thirsty find refreshment, the depressed find friendship, the suffering find support and justice. Dear friends, that's our story. That's our story. That's the song that the Holy Spirit is singing to our hearts from the very moment of creation. That is our story. That is our call, because we're Plymouth. Thanks be to God. Amen.